God, that we can nurture in you, that we can coach in you. Father,
we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today and sign the Sanctuaries for Life petition to encourage local, state, and federal officials to protect every innocent human life. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
This time of year, many people examine themselves or go to a doctor and have the doctor examine them, or even both. God does want us to examine ourselves. He also wants us to ask Him to examine us. And we should do this on a regular basis, not just this time of year, but especially this time of year where so many people are focusing on actually examining themselves and determining whether you're on the right path. Well, we need to actually have objective standards for that and look to the Word of God for that. And we've been doing that. And really what we've seen is that, again, God does want us to examine ourselves. He also wants us to ask Him to examine us. It's important to examine our lives physically, make sure that we, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, make sure that we're doing everything we can do to be as healthy as we can be so that we can accomplish as much for God for as long as possible. And we also need to examine our priorities, making sure that we're seeking first His kingdom, not our own pleasure, not wealth, not even health, that making sure that we're seeking first the kingdom of God. It's also important to examine our finances, to make sure that they are in line, that we're actually doing what we can to earn more money, that we're also doing what we can and should to spend less than what we earn so that we can have reserves to protect ourselves and to provide for ourselves, but also to provide and help out others. Because God wants you to be a blessing to others, and there are times where you may need blessings from others, and there's nothing wrong with that, but really we need to work and strive to get to the place where we can be a blessing to others. It's also time that we examine our relationships and making sure that our relationships are right with God, that really we are loving one another, that we're not only loving God, but we're loving one another. Our spouses, our family members, those who, whether you're a child or a parent or whatever, we need to make sure that our relationships and examine our relationships. See if there's any way that you can improve. It's real easy to see ways that other people can improve, but how can you improve? How can you really get to a place where you can love one another better? And we also started talking about our spiritual examination last week, and actually where we look at asking God to examine us, asking God to search us, to try us, to see if there's any wicked way in us. And we even talked about the concept of actually, and the responsibility that Christians have to make sure that we're in the faith, to make our calling and election sure, to make sure that God has started a good work in us. And that's really, it's an odd concept, because on the one hand you have God's sovereignty, but on the other hand you have personal responsibility. And what you do see in Scripture is you see that God wants both, and you actually see some passages, and we went over them last week, where you see God wanting us to actually take responsibility, and part of that responsibility is to make sure that we are in the faith, to make our calling and election sure. God is obviously the one that calls, He's the one that elects, but we have a role to play in that as well. And so there are many Christians actually believe either completely in God's sovereignty and exclude personal responsibility, or they believe completely in personal responsibility and exclude God's sovereignty in salvation. But really, the Bible actually presents both as completely true, even though they appear to contradict. And we've actually gone over this, and we see that the law of God is perfect. It converts the soul. It actually leads us to a place where we would come to Him. We see also from Psalm 139, actually verse 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So we are to actually pray that God would search us, that God would see if there's any wicked way in us. You know, you're not going to see your faults. In fact, if you want to know your faults, probably ask, if you're married, ask your spouse. Ask someone around you, what do I need to work on? But also ask God, because God is all-knowing. God loves you, and He wants you to actually be right. Now, we also are coming to a point where we're going to look at really developing a biblical worldview. And this is something that really, when we look at developing a biblical worldview, there's some staggering statistics that are out there. Actually, most Christians do not have a biblical worldview. Really, what you're dealing with is most Christians really being influenced more by society, being influenced more by what they see on television, what they read in a newspaper, what they see online, what they actually read in a book, or maybe a movie that they see, or a song, or a singer, even by praise and worship songs, than by actually the Bible. And really, the Bible should be our roadmap. It should be our guidance. We should examine everything else through the lens of the Bible. But only, according to George Barna in his book Revolution, only 9% of all adults have a biblical worldview. That means that less than 1 in 10 Christians, really he's talking there about Christians, not just all adults, but 1 in 10 Christians age 18 or older believes absolute truth exists, believes that such truth is contained in the Bible, and possesses a handful of core beliefs that reflect such truth. Those beliefs include a certainty that the Bible is accurate in its teaching. Jesus lived a sinless life on earth. Satan is real, not symbolic. All believers are responsible for sharing their faith in Christ with others. The only means to salvation is through God's grace, and God is the all-knowing and all-powerful creator of the universe who still rules it today. The other 91% of born-again adults possess a patchwork of theological views and rarely rely on those perspectives to inform their daily decisions. Although the typical believer contends that the Bible is accurate in what it teaches, he or she spends less time reading the Bible in a year than watching television, listening to music, reading other books and publications, or conversing about personal hobbies and leisure interest. So really, we have a problem, and the problem is that we're not reading the Bible. We're not getting into the Word of God. We're not looking to it for guidance. We're not actually seeing what it says and applying it to our lives. And we need to get back to that. We need to actually do what the Word of God says. And so when we look at Scripture, and this is really important, because when I was growing up, I remember, you know, I grew up in a church. I grew up in a Christian home. I actually, when I was young, very young, I actually was convicted of my sins. I came to my parents. I asked them, what I must do to be saved. And, you know, they asked me, what, you know, have you done anything wrong? And I kind of whispered because I didn't want them to hear. I didn't want them to know what I had done that was wrong. And, you know, I didn't want them to hear, but I knew that I was a sinner. My conscience convicted me of sin, and I knew that I needed to repent of my sin. And so I actually, from a young age, actually committed my life to Jesus. And I went to church, and I did read little bits and pieces of the Bible, but really I didn't really take my faith seriously until later on in life. When I was 13 years old, my parents bought me a Bible, and I did start reading it on a daily basis, but still was not quite 100% engaged in doing what the Bible said, and even reading the Bible. If I read a chapter a day, that was a lot. And I know for some of you listening, maybe a chapter a day would seem like a lot to you. You wouldn't really think. Some people, even reading a verse a day, they think they're right on track if they can read a verse a day. And even there are apps that will give you a verse a day. Let me tell you something. Could you survive if you were to eat one bite of food a day? Really, we need to consume the Bible. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to live it. And, you know, later on, I know as I was a teenager, I wanted to get into some of my friends wanted to form a rock and roll band. And I asked my dad if I could be in that. And they said, no, you need to be in Christian music. And so another friend of mine and I said, well, we're going to form a Christian band. And so the other two guys that wanted to form this rock band, they said, well, let's form a Christian band. And they said, well, you know what, if we're going to be in a Christian band, we need to actually be Christians. We need to actually do what God wants us to do. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray. So we actually started to have more of an emphasis on reading the Bible and praying. And in our church, we were encouraged to read the Bible and to examine what we believed against what the Bible said. And if we saw a contradiction, to not ignore the Bible, but to change our beliefs. And we were also encouraged to memorize Scripture and to meditate on that Scripture. And my dad, who was the pastor, encouraged us to read 5 Psalms a day. You know, if you read 5 Psalms a day, you can go through Psalms almost every month. In fact, there are 150 Psalms. If you divide that by 5, you get 30. Most months of the year have 30 Psalms. If you just went through this and you know, obviously February has 28, every now and then has 29 days. Some months have 31 days. And, you know, in February, you might have to read some extra to get the entire chapter, the entire book read in February. One thing you can do on months, if you try this, one thing you can do on months that have 31 days is you can save Psalm 139, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, for day 31. He also encouraged us to read one proverb a day. And if you read one proverb a day, you can pretty much go through Proverbs every month, although there are 31 Proverbs. So really about half of the month, you'll have to read a little bit extra to actually go through the book of Proverbs every month. But by doing that, by reading Proverbs, I can tell you that I developed a strong work ethic. I actually, as a teenager, was lazy. A lot of teenagers are lazy. We try to get out of work and don't want to work as hard as possible. But I saw from Proverbs that the diligent would rule, and that we're not to be lazy. We're not to be slothful. We're to actually be diligent in our work. And I also was doing this, and I also was reading between 1 to 3 chapters in the rest of the Bible every day. And one of the things that our church did focus on also was reading through the Bible every year. And that may seem like a daunting task if you've never done it, but really you're only looking at reading 3 to 5 chapters a day. And there are Bible reading programs that are out there. There are Bible reading plans that are out there. There are free Bible reading programs in our, we'll put this sermon on our YouTube channel. And in that, in the descriptions, we'll actually put links and we'll put it on our website, covenanttabernacle.com as well. And we'll put links to these programs where you can actually read the Bible and you can actually go and look, and there are Bible reading programs. You can read through the Bible as it is written. You can read through the Bible as it was written in time, the actual time and the dates that the actual chapters and books were actually written. You can read through the Bible. That's called chronologically. You can read through the Bible where you're reading a book or a chapter maybe in the Pentateuch and a chapter in Psalms and a chapter in the prophets and a chapter in the New Testament. There are various plans to read through the Bible. But what I was doing was, again, reading 5 Psalms a day, 1 proverb a day, and I was also reading 1 to 3 chapters in another part of the Bible every day. And I thought I was doing pretty good. I thought, wow, you know, I really am reading the Bible quite a bit. And then there was a church service that was in one of the churches in North Fort Pierce. And some my friends and I that were in this band, we went to that church service. And this church service, it was not a normal Sunday morning church service. This was a special service. It might have been on Friday night or Saturday evening. And there was a minister that was speaking and the son of the minister that was actually prophesying over people. And one of the things that happens when people prophesy is that sometimes they're prophesying and they're actually speaking what God has to say. And then other times they say things that you kind of wonder, well, is that really God or not? And in fact, we need to measure what is said against the Word of God, see if it lines up with the Word of God. And also, another principle that the Bible says is look and see whether that prophecy comes true or not. Well, my friends and I did go up to the front, and we were prophesied over. And when I was prophesied over, I was prophesied that I would get into the Bible and read the Bible far more than I had been doing. And I'll be honest, when I left that, I questioned it with my friends and I said, I really don't know whether this guy is hearing from God or not. I don't know whether he's on the level or not. I don't know whether what he said is from the Lord, because I couldn't imagine reading the Bible more than what I was already reading. 5 Psalms a day, 1 proverb a day, and again, between 1 to 3 chapters in the rest of the Bible. So really, I probably wasn't going through the rest of the Bible in a full year at that pace, but I was still spending quite a bit of time, from my perspective, in the Word of God, and I couldn't imagine reading the Bible more. And then, not too long after that, God called me to be a missionary to the preborn. And what this meant was that I actually went to Atlanta and I joined another group of Christians, and we would actually go to the doors of abortion clinics and block those doors of abortion clinics. Sometimes we even went inside the abortion clinics and pled with the mothers that were there to abort their babies, and we blocked an inside door, and we would call for the mothers to actually plead. We would plead for the life of their preborn children. Sometimes we would block the abortionist from coming in, and oftentimes we were actually put into jail for doing this. Our actual first rescue attempt up there was February 14th, 1990. And we went to one abortion mill, and we actually got there a little bit late. And the women had already gone inside, and the plan wasn't to go inside. The plan was to block the outside doors. So we went to another abortion clinic, but traffic in Atlanta is quite busy in rush hour, and we didn't get to that abortion clinic in time either. So we went to a third abortion clinic. We didn't know that this abortion clinic did have women that were going to come in probably within an hour and a half of our arrival. But we were just going because we didn't know that. We were just going there to pray and to stand on the sidewalk. We were standing there kneeling in prayer. We weren't blocking the sidewalk. I was standing reading the Bible. Our church had just read the Bible. One of the things we did sometimes is we would start at New Year's and we would read the Bible 24 hours a day until we got done with it. Have different Christians, different parts of the church come in and read the Bible. And I can tell you that there was a power. The Bible says that God's word doesn't go forth. When it goes forth, it doesn't go forth in a return void. It actually carries forth what God has called it to carry forth. And I can tell you that there was a huge amount of power in our church after doing that. And I was standing on the corner there at Fem Center in Atlanta, and I was reading out loud the Bible, and other people were praying, and they called the police on us. And the police came and actually arrested us for praying on the sidewalk. And we were there and we were again arrested. And I was arrested. I did kneel and pray. And I was arrested while I was kneeling in prayer. We actually spent, I believe, about 18 days in jail, during which time we were thrown into solitary confinement because we refused to stop holding Bible studies. We were asked to stop holding Bible studies, and we met and we talked about whether we should stop holding Bible studies. You know, they had these rules that you couldn't congregate together, and these rules were really meant to prevent gangs. We weren't really a gang. We weren't trying to do anything bad. We were just studying the Bible, and really they said, no, you can't do this. And we met and we said, should we do this? Should we stop having Bible studies? And I just said, listen, they're asking us to stop having Bible studies. Why are we even talking about this? Of course we should have Bible studies. We can't stop having Bible studies just because they tell us to stop having Bible studies. And we did have our Bible study. We were thrown into solitary confinement. And that night, it was in Atlanta. It was February, and it was chilly outside. They actually didn't give us a blanket. We had thin jail clothes on. They turned the air conditioner on in the solitary confinement to make us cold. And I can remember that night sleeping in a fetal position. And I would sleep until my outer hip would hurt from being so cold. And then I would roll over to the other side and fall back asleep until that hip, the outer hip, got cold. And I kept doing that all night long. The next day we were actually let out of solitary confinement and told that we were model citizens and they need more people like us. And then later on that day, they threw us back in solitary confinement when we met to have our Bible study. Kind of like Daniel, we weren't thrown into a lion's den, but you know, Daniel was told not to pray, and Daniel prayed anyway and was thrown into the lion's den. We were thrown into solitary confinement. But before we went into solitary confinement, the leader of our group who was with us in jail, I mean, this was really a great time for me because I was there with some people that I really considered heroes of the faith. There was Chet Gallagher, who actually was a Las Vegas police officer who lost his job because as a police officer, he was sworn to protect and defend. And he actually went to the doors of the abortion clinic at a rescue and joined the rescuers. And he was actually, they took his badge and they relieved him of his duties. And he actually gave up his job to actually protect innocent human life. And there was Joseph Foreman that was there, that was one of the leaders in the rescue movement. And Joseph actually wrote a big letter to us. Even though he was there, he wrote it all down and he delivered it to us verbally. But basically, he went from a speech that Vince Lombardi had, where he took the Packers, the Green Bay Packers, and he really told them, gentlemen, this is a football, and he brought them back to fundamentals. And his message was, this is a Bible, and you need to read it. You need to get into it, and you need to examine what you believe against the Bible. And he put us on Bible reading programs that at minimum we were reading through the Old Testament every 3 months and the New Testament every month. There was another plan that read through the Old Testament in 2 months and the New Testament in 1 month. Then there was a plan that read through the entire Bible in a month. And then for those that were really aggressive, he had a plan that read through the entire Bible in 7 days. I tried that twice, and I did this in jail, and basically I finished it, I think, once maybe in 8 days, once in 9 days. So I didn't quite get it in 7 days, but it is phenomenal what you see. And really what I saw is I did see a huge expansion of reading the Bible. And so that prophecy that I was questioning actually did come true. And by reading the Bible more, I could actually have a biblical worldview. Now, you may not be able to read that much in the Bible, but you can read probably more than what you are reading. And I want to encourage you to do that. And you can not only read the Bible today, you can listen to the Bible. I actually listen to the Bible when I'm gardening. I listen to the Bible when I'm doing work around the house. I listen to the Bible, and you can listen to the Bible through various Bible apps. There are free Bible apps, and I listen to it through Audible, which is paid, but you know, you can buy the book and you own it. I buy the Bible. That's the main book that I listen to in Audible. And I would encourage you to get into the Word of God, to devour the Word of God, and to develop a biblical worldview. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today and sign the Sanctuaries for Life petition to encourage local, state, and federal officials to protect every innocent human life. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linnegan, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to The Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.